for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday afternoon, September the 3rd, 1988. Labor Day weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This tape is a deliverance service. Glenn Miller is teaching on curses and Irma Miller on the occult. This is one of two of this service.
The Spirit said in the quiet place, go back to the carpenter's shop. When I asked why, he said it again, just go back to the carpenter's shop. So not knowing what to expect, but believing that he knew the best, I went back to the carpenter's shop, and day by day, he whittled away. In the closet of the carpenter's shop, he showed me the depths of my heart, when all along I thought I was fine, by his hand he began to refine. So the splinters and ridges and knots he sanded and pounded and planed. I cried and I tried to give up, as day by day he whittled away. He worked with care in the carpenter's shop, rebuilding me so patiently. His hands were skillful and sure, forming a son strong and mature. Though the process was painfully slow, my heart could rejoice in his love, for I knew that his work he'd complete, as day by day he whittled away. So when you hear the Spirit saying to you, go back to the carpenter's shop, never doubt his purpose for you, as day by day he whittles away. As day by day he whittles away, whittles away, whittles away. Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. We're going to study about curses first and trust that we can learn something. I never believed in this. In fact, my tradition taught me that it wasn't so, but I found out that my tradition was wrong. And so I hope this afternoon that I can relate to you some of the things that we have learned that has convinced us and convinced me that what my tradition taught me was in error. Curses. Where do they come from and what are they? Well, first of all, there's curses that we can get on us by what I say or what you say towards me or against me or about myself. I can curse myself. You can curse yourself by what you say. You can curse somebody else by what you say. So we need to watch our words, what we say. Then there's curses that come by witchcraft and sorcery. There's curses that come by, and you say, nobody can put a curse against me. Well, we kind of thought that too until we had some experiences where witchcraft was worked against us. We had witchcraft worked against us here on the campground. We had a warlock who came and camped here for 2 or 3 weeks. And I found out one day that they were having seances and all down by their trailer, building fire and having a worshiping Satan around the fire. And the next morning I told them to leave. Well, they got some other witchcraft, some other covens around the area, and they were going to have Satan burn this place down. And we found out the word got to us of what they were doing, and we stood against it. You say, well, they can't do it. Satan can't can't do anything against me personally because I'm a Christian. Well, I wish that were true, but it's not true. How do I know? Because somebody in this town worked witchcraft against Irma, and we found out about it. They took a doll and they put pins through her, and they made a remark in front of somebody else when they did it. They got back to us. That Irma Miller will have a hard time getting over this. And she had a hard time getting over it until we found out what it was and where it came from. It was revealed by the Spirit before it got back to us through somebody that actually heard and saw this person do it. Irma was sick with pneumonia for 15 days. She never even came down to work. And then finally the Lord revealed the source of it through a prophet, and the authority was taken over it, and it was broken, and she was delivered, set free from it. You say, well, how? I don't know how. All I know that it happened, and I know that Satan has power. People say Satan doesn't have any power. You're wrong. He's got a lot of power. But Jesus is greater.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Jesus is greater. So that's another way we can get curses on us. We can get curses on us by what we speak, or we can get curses on us by what is done through witchcraft, or there's curses that come on us because we disobey the Word of God, and God says that He curses us. So today we're going to look at what the Scripture says about it and why. We're going to look at the Scripture because we need to establish everything by the Word of the Lord. We need this is what we establish by, and this is what we need to go by. And so if it's what it says, then I believe it. God said it, it's so. Whether I believe it or not, whether you believe it or not, it's so. It's established. It is forever written, declared. My word shall not pass away, not one jot or one tittle, till all be fulfilled. And it will stand throughout eternity, the word. So the word is what we're going to look at. It's what we're going to use. For it is written is all that we have to stand on in the authority of the name of the Lord Jesus. It is written. That is my authority. That is your authority. In the name of Jesus, our authority is, it is written. So therefore, we need to know what is written and how we can stand against these things. Like a lot of you, I was taught that everything's under the blood. Satan has no power. I was never taught anything about demons, and yet I was raised from my earliest remembering. I was raised in a Pentecostal church, slept in the sawdust, slept on the wood benches, rolled off into the sawdust, but never knew that Satan had any authority. Never knew that demons harassed and possessed Christians. And I thank the Lord that we have come to an understanding of the authority of the Word of the Lord and the dominion that we have over Satan, and we're coming to an understanding of the authority that he has. And as we come to that understanding, we're taking our place of authority over him and taking his authority away from him. For that's what we're called for. We're called, first of all, to be a testimony of Jesus, and then we're called to be a warrior for Jesus. And that warfare is only one place. There's only one place where that warfare is needed. That's against Satan. For everything he has is against us. So our warfare is against him. And we need, so we're learning how to come against and be warriors in behalf of the body of Christ. And that includes us as a unit. We need warfare for each other, with each other. So let's look over in Exodus chapter 20, and we will start there. And I don't know how my Bible got opened here to receive the offering to where we're going to end, but that's where it's at, right where we're going to end. But we're going to start in Exodus chapter 20 and see what the Word of the Lord says concerning these things. For that is our authority, and that's what we come under. Well, okay, I didn't really mean to turn there, but since I did, I'll read it, since I've got you over there. It's the last three verses that I was just going to refer to. But God says here, but it happened here in Exodus chapter 20, that Lot's daughters are with child by Lot. And they both bear a son, and one is the father of the Moabites, and the other is the father of the Ammonites. And they are born in incest. So, Genesis chapter 19. Genesis 19. But just stay where Exodus is. I've already told you what's there. Exodus chapter 34 is where we will go. And then we will find out. I only meant to make reference to that there, which I have done now. Okay. But in Exodus 34, God says here in verse 5, we'll start, "And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him Moses there, and God proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him Moses and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering," praise the Lord for that, "abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity." What is iniquity? Lawlessness, rebellion, doing that which you know not to do. Iniquity is doing that which you know not to do. And so God says that he'll forgive our iniquity, doing that which we knew not to do and we did it anyway. God says he'll forgive our iniquity and our transgressions and sin, but he says, but that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children to the third and the fourth generation. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy 5 and verse 6 says, "I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt," or land of sin, "from the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and the fourth generation of them that do not obey my word." Now, King James says, "hate me." Other translation says, "that do not obey my word. But showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and do what? Keep my commandments." Deuteronomy 23. Deuteronomy 23, verse 2. "A bastard shall not enter in to the congregation of the Lord, even to his tenth generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord. A Moabite, an Ammonite, or a Moabite." Now, I've already told you who they were. They're Lot's children by his two daughters. "Shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to their tenth generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even forever." And 10 generations is approximately 400 years. Now, this says here that a bastard or illegitimate child cannot enter into the congregation of the Lord for 10 generations, the descendants. It also says that the descendants of Lot by his daughters cannot enter in for 10 generations. What were they? They were incest. So God says that incest carries a 10-generation curse, incest. And so does the illegitimate child carry a 10-generation curse. America is cursed with curses upon curses of incest and illegitimate children today, because they has no fear of God, basically, in the household of faith. They do not fear God's judgment. But God's judgment is sure. We'll find out here before we get through what God says about some of these things and where we stand. Leviticus chapter 3, which I think I made reference to once already in one service. Leviticus chapter 3 says in verse 17, "It shall be a perpetual statute." Perpetual is what? It's no end. Endless. For your generations throughout all your dwellings, that you eat neither fat nor blood. God says that is perpetual. Leviticus 17, verse 10 says, And whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel, or the strangers that sojourn among you, that eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood, and will cut him off from among his people. What will happen? You get cut off. Doesn't say you'll get killed. Doesn't say to kill you. Doesn't say what? It says to cut you off. Well, today we found out that, from medical science how we've been getting cut off. Well, let me finish reading it here first. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, No soul of you shall eat blood, neither shall any stranger that sojourneth among you eat blood. And whatsoever man there be of the children of Israel, or the strangers that sojourneth among you, which hunteth and catcheth any beast or fowl that may be eaten, he shall even pour out the blood thereof and cover it with dust. For it is the life of all flesh, the blood of it is for the life thereof. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, You shall not eat the blood of no manner of flesh, for the life of all flesh is in the blood thereof. Whosoever eateth it shall be cut off. Today we have all kinds of blood problems. That causes sickness and illness and disease. We have all kinds of heart problems from eating fat. That scientists are now telling us that is causing cholesterol and causing heart trouble. No, and God told us that way back here in Leviticus. He said, don't eat the blood. Don't eat the fat. He said, if you do, you'll get cut off. So how you get cut off? You can get cut off by being sick and dying. You cut off. God said that would happen to us. And it's been happening. So, but the Lord told us, not to do it, but we in our rebellion have said, oh, well, that didn't mean that. That's Old Testament. That's Moses' law. That's not God's law. It's not Moses' law at all. God said, Moses, you go tell what I said. That's my law. That's God's law. Moses is a mouthpiece. It's not Moses' law at all, and it's not Old Testament. It's one book. It has no division except chapters and books, but it's still one book. How do I know it's one book? Read the last chapter of Revelations and it'll tell you. It's one book. And those who make those statements and divide it and do that are will be responsible before God in judgment for what they have caused the people of the household of faith to believe, that we're not don't have to pay attention to what's written. Oh, you take Isaiah 53 and you use that, or you take some of the Psalms and you can use that. Well, if you can use one verse or one phrase of a verse, then all the rest of it applies. You cannot divide it and separate it. It is one book. Let's turn over here to Leviticus 18. We're already there. It's just across the page in my book. Leviticus 18. And we're going to look at some of the things here that lead up to. Just shortly. In verse 4 it says, You shall do my judgments and keep mine ordinances to walk therein. Why? Just simply says, because I am the Lord your God. Didn't say, do you want to? Would you like to? Do it if you want to? Doesn't say that. It said, you shall do my judgments and keep mine ordinances. You see, all that all got done away at Calvary. Yes, the ordinances of the sacrifices were done away at Calvary. All of it. Complete. Jesus completed it. But Jesus kept every bit of the rest of the law. He never in one tittle or one way deviated from it. He was a complete fulfillment of it. And in no way did he ever say that he did away with the dietary laws and all the rest here that apply to our physical and sexual life. No way did he say. In fact, he says, Be ye holy as I am holy. It says here, none of you shall approach to any near of kin. Said, you shall not uncover their nakedness, and so forth. Then it says, the nakedness of thy son you shall not, or thy daughter or daughter-in-law, and so forth, you shall not uncover. It says, that thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister. Or thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's brother. It's all incest. God says, you shall not. It says, thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy daughter-in-law, or thy son's wife, or thy brother's wife. Or a woman and her daughter, or take a wife and her sister, have two sisters for wife, shall not do that. You shall not approach unto a woman during the time of her ministerial period. They all tease me about that. They say I say minstrel. Minstrel is right? Oh. All right. Well, you all know what I'm talking about. And God says that a man and wife shall not have sexual relations during that time. He said, you shall not. And why? Well, science is finding, and I believe, that it's a cause of prostate trouble, and it's a cause of women's having a female problems, because we disobeyed God's law. But nobody ever stood. Nobody until 15 years ago, or even later than that. I read this myself and saw it. Nobody ever told me, even though I'd read it, it never registered in my head. I had read it many times, yet until God made a revelation of it to us, these things that I'm reading here. Because I was somehow, by my tradition, I was somehow taught that this didn't apply anymore. It wasn't really said, but it was ingrained in me by my tradition of my background, theological, I guess, or whatever, till I just never thought it applied to me. But I find out that was error. I was taught error, I was taught error without being said so. The error was there. God says you shall not. Okay, let's turn the page over to chapter 20 and see what God says over here in chapter 20. He repeats the same thing. It says in the mouth of two or three witnesses, well, God's done it well. I see my eyes fall on verse 26 here. That's not in my notes, but I'm going to read it because it refers to what I've already read. It says, you shall not eat anything with the blood, neither shall you use enchantments nor observe times witchcraft. Irma's going to talk about the occult. So we'll leave that there to her. And it goes on to say, you shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead or prints upon your body, pierce your ears or have tattoos on you. You shall not cut yourself or make any marks on you. Verse 8 here in chapter 20 says, you shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctifieth you. Then, that was verse 8 I just read. But I want to get down here. It says, I'll just read some of these because I want to get the thought out of them. It says, verse 10. Well, let's start with verse 9 because it says, for everyone that curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. And the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. And the man that lieth with his father's wife and uncovereth his father's nakedness, surely both of them surely shall be put to death. If a man lie with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall be put to death. If a man take a wife and her mother, it is wickedness, they shall be burnt with fire. If a man lie with a beast, bestiality, he shall surely be put to death, and they shall slay the beast. And if a woman approach unto a beast, bestiality, thou shalt kill the woman and the beast. They shall surely be put to death. And then verse 18 repeats again, if a man lie with a woman while she's having her period. Why, he's uncovered her nakedness, and they shall be cut off from among their people. There was another one here about homosexuality. Here it is, back in verse 13 of chapter 20. If a man also lie with mankind as with a woman, they have committed abomination, and they shall surely be put to death. Homosexuality and lesbianism, they shall be put to death. Verse 22 says, you shall therefore keep all my statutes and all my judgments and do them. Deuteronomy 27. Deuteronomy 27, verse 15 says, cursed be the man that maketh any graven or molten image, an abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and putteth it in a secret place. And here all the people answer, amen. Cursed be he that holdeth in light esteem his father or his mother. Cursed be he that removeth his neighbor's landmark. Cursed be he that maketh the blind to wander out of the way. Cursed be he that perverteth the judgment of the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. All of these that I've read so far are four-generation curses, three- and four-generation curses. Cursed be he lieth with his father's wife. Now that's incest. That's a 10-generation curse. Cursed be he that lieth with any manner of beast, bestiality. Cursed be he that lieth with his sister, the daughter of his father, the daughter of his mother, 10-generation curse. Cursed be incest. Cursed be he that lieth with his mother-in-law, incest, 10-generation curse. Cursed be he that smiteth his neighbor, and cursed be he that taketh reward to slay innocent, and cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them. Now, we've ran through almost the same thing three times. The first time, God said, you shall not. You shall not do this. You shall obey my word. The next time we went through it, it says, you shall be put to death. You're to be stoned. You're to be put to death. Then this time, he says, you're cursed. God says you're cursed. It is written, we're cursed if we do these things. And you tell me, if you know everything your great-great-great-grandfather and grandmother did, you tell me if you know everything your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmother and grandfather did. Do you know what your grandmother and grandfather did? Do you know what your mother and father did? Then what have we done? We're all worthy to be stoned. Grace and mercy. Grace and mercy. A wonderful, wonderful mercy of the Lord. Except for His mercy, there would be no flesh left on the earth. Except for His mercy. And we're partakers of that mercy and that grace. But we still come under these curses. And we wonder why. Somebody say, well, he or she chip off the old block. Her grandfather, he had a bad temper, so yeah, he's got one. He's got one. Her grandma did so and so, and so mother or daughter, granddaughter, they're just like grandma. What is it? It's the curse. It's the curse. It's the familiar spirit. It's following the family line because it has a legal right. Because we have disobeyed the word of the Lord. And Satan is a legalist. And if he has a legal right, he'll hang on to it as long as he can. And not only hang on to it, but he'll try his very best, as we have stated. He's a chip off the old block. So he's repeating what grandfather did. So now Satan's got a right again for another three or four generations or whatever it is. Alcoholism. Lust, swearing, endless, we can talk about.
Divorce.
Divorce is the occult. The occult, the spirit of divorce follows the occult more than anything else. There may be other reasons, but occult is the main reason that divorce follows. It follows that familiar spirit of the occult, divorce does. So, but the Lord says, He says that we're cursed. Well, let's go on here. Let's go over to Malachi chapter 1 and verse 14. It says, cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male, and voweth and sacrificeth unto the Lord a corrupt thing. It says, for I am a great king, which saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. What's happened here? Somebody's made a vow to the Lord, and they kept it. But they broke it. They vowed to give God an animal or 10 acres of land of a crop or to give God something else. And when it come time, well, the animal that they gave to God was the best one in the flock. Oh, they didn't want to get rid of that one. So they got another one and replaced it. God says you're cursed. You gave God 10 acres of land and it was the best 10 acres you had on the farm. And so you took another 10 acres and gave to God. You're cursed. You made a vow to God and you did something different. You're cursed. God says you're cursed. Then what does he say in the next verse? He said, oh, you priests, this commandment is for you. And today, we understand that the head of the house are all priests. So that applies to every male man in this house. We're all the priests of the house. It says, and now, ye priests, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart, to give glory to my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you. I'll curse your blessings, Yea, I've cursed them already. Because you don't believe it. You don't lay it to heart. People say, it's like I've got a curse on me. You have. God said so. God put it there. You've got a curse because you've disobeyed God's word and not followed the word of the Lord. Over in chapter 3, it says, verse 6 says, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. It's only the mercy of the Lord that we're not consumed. His mercy to every one of us. Even from the days of your father, you're gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But you said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse. You say, doesn't matter what I do, it just seems like I don't have enough money to meet the bills. Just like you got a hole in your pocket. The scripture, I don't have the scripture, but there's a scripture that says you've got a hole in your purse. And it's all because we don't give God that which is His. And you'll find there's many a testimony. But even though they didn't seem to have enough, when they gave God what was His, they had sufficient. They were sufficient. And God's promised that if He has His, there will be sufficient for the rest. That is, if we're wise. Now, you can be foolish. God didn't promise you to give you your wants. He promised to give you your needs. And the problem with America is we've got too many wants that exceed our needs. That's a god in America, pleasure and things. That's one of the biggest gods in America is pleasure and things. Football games, basketball, they're just endless. Basketball games, bowling, golf, tennis, they've all become great things, tournaments, fishing tournaments, hunting tournaments, all become great things. And they're abomination to God. They stench in the nostrils of God. And we've made them a god in America. That's our god. Pleasure. And God's tired of it. And it's time for a separation. There has to be a separation. And it's starting in the household of faith. God says that His judgments will start in the household of faith. And we're seeing them. We've seen them start, and they will multiply and continue until God's judgments brings holiness to His people. Until there's a people who serve Him in holiness because we want to. Not because we've been told to, not because we have to, but because I want to serve the Lord. I want to serve Him. I want to make Him Lord of my life. I want Him to be Lord. I want to walk in holiness and righteousness before the Lord. Proverbs chapter 26 has got a little verse thrown in there. Proverbs that until you have a little understanding of what I've just been reading, really doesn't make too much sense. But it's thrown in there, right in the Proverbs. And it says, verse 2 says, as the bird by wandering, and as the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. The curse is seeking and looking. It's Satan is looking where he can find an inroad into our lives. As we have done something contrary to the word of the Lord, Satan is looking for a way, an entrance into your life. And the minute he finds it, he jumps right into it. But he can't find a way unless you open the door. So the curse cannot come unless you do something contrary to the Word of God, where God says we're cursed by it. And the minute we do that, it gives God, Satan, a legal right to that area of your life. To that area. Not to all, but to that area of your life. Or, if your ancestors have done something in these areas, and I know that we're bound by a lot of it, or if not all of it, then Satan has a right in that area until that curse either runs out or it's broken. You say, well, I thought it all got broken when I got saved. Well, I thought that too. My tradition, my Pentecostal tradition taught me that everything was under the blood. That once I accepted Jesus as Lord of my life, everything was under the blood. Well, I have found that my soul was saved, the Spirit of the Lord came into me, and that I had salvation. But I have found by circumstances and by what praying with people that everything's not under the blood until we confess it and appropriate the blood of the Lord Jesus to cleanse us in these areas, and especially in the areas of our ancestral sin. And so how do we get free from these things? Well, the Lord is beginning to show us and open the door. And I don't know how, as I said this morning, I guess, before Brother Jack talked, I said that I believe that we have to go somehow. I don't know how. Don't ask me. I don't know how. But I feel that some way we have to eventually get clear back to get these curses broken off of us so that we can be free and walk in the things of the Lord, in holiness and righteousness, so we're not tormented by these things that torment us. Some of them torment us because of our own doing. We have to deliverance. We're delivering. Some of these torments are because we have inherited them from our ancestral fathers and mothers. And so we come down to today, and we're tormented by them. How do we get out from under them? Well, let's look a little farther, and then we will do. Let's go over to Deuteronomy chapter 7, and we will go through some things here that the Lord says. This is not Glenn Miller. This is not Gene Moody. This is the word of the Lord. And Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9 says, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations." You know how long that is? That's 40,000 years approximately. So we haven't begun to come into the goodness of the Lord here. And repayeth them that hate him to their face, to destroy them. He will not be slack to them that hate him. He will repay him to his face. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command thee this day to do them. Wherefore it shall come to pass, if ye hearken to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he sware unto your fathers. And he will love thee and bless thee and multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of thy womb and the fruit of thy land, the corn and the wine and the oil, the increase of thy kine and the flocks of thy sheep in the land which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee. Thou shalt be blessed above all people. Thou shalt not be male or female barren among you or among your cattle. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt which thou knowest upon thee. And today we're a people that need sickness taken away from the midst of us. Every one of us has, in some way, needs to be restoration in our physical bodies. But the Lord says that if we obey his word and follow after and don't do these things, that none of these things will have a right to come to us. So it's time we begin to learn somehow where the right comes from so that we can be free from it. Now, the Scripture very plainly tells us in other places that he'll not only keep us, but if we even drink any deadly thing, it'll not hurt us. So if that's true, then if we're around where there's a virus of some kind, it wouldn't hurt us either. See? We're immune to it. So there's a place we've got to come to through the Word of the Lord, through his Word, that we will come into that place of immunity in our physical bodies. I believe that place exists. I desire to find that place. I'll tell you, I'm not there. I'm like Jack. I'm looking for it. I'm looking for it. I desire to find it. I'm searching for it. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 23 says, "And he brought us out from thence that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware to our fathers. And the Lord commanded us." If we're going to have the land that he sware to us, if we're going to inherit it, then there's a condition. "And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us." As the Lord has commanded us. Leviticus chapter 19. Verse 1 says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying," you notice here, I've been reading, but here, Moses didn't get up and say any of these things out of his head. Everything Moses said, the Lord told him. And it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, You shall be holy." I used to hear that, and I used to think, that's foolishness. Nobody can be holy. I really did. But God says, "You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." So we should desire to be holy. That should be a goal of in your life, to be holy before the Lord, to walk in holiness before the Lord. Verse 20 says, in 7 and 8, "Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. And you shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctifieth you." He says, you shall do it. Over in 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, and verse 15 says, "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." We're to be holy in our thoughts and in our conversation and our deeds. And Revelation chapter 22 says, "And he saith unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still." So, in my opinion, the prophecy of this book is at hand right now. And he says, "He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still." And it says, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his works shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments." So, the end of the book says that we're blessed if we be holy and if we keep his commandments. Now, you say, well, how do we get out from under all of this? Well, the Scripture says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. What did he do? He gave his Son because he so loved the world. Is the world all saved? Not even, maybe, they think maybe might possibly be 2% of the world. Maybe. 2%. But God gave his Son for the whole world, that they might be saved. Then Galatians 3:13 says, well, let's turn up there. Let's turn over there and read it. That's where my Bible was open to when I laid it up here. It says, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." So Jesus became a curse, so we don't have to bear the curse. But that doesn't automatically break the curses. Just as you're not saved because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that the world through him might be saved. The world is not saved. You have to apply and accept and appropriate the blood of the Lord Jesus for salvation. We have to do the same thing with the curses. We have to apply and appropriate, it is written, that Jesus became a curse, and take that place of authority and take Satan's rights away by breaking the dominion and power of the curses of our ancestors and our own sins. We have to do that. So, I'm going to do that right now, and then Irma's going to come and talk about the occult. Amen. I'm going to stand here in place of in behalf of every one of us, and I'm going to take authority over the curses of our ancestors and our own. Now, there's nothing we can do about the sins of our ancestors. You cannot pray for your ancestors. That is unscriptural. They're forever settled. That's between them and God. But the curse of the ancestors that are coming down upon us, we can do something about that. Because Jesus became a curse, so the curses can be broken. So we're going to break the curses of our own and our ancestors. And then as the Lord shows you certain areas or things, then you can deal with that individually. And I probably will work on some of this later when Irma is through. But right now, I'm going to pray, and we're going to break the curses that are visited upon we who are present here. And anyone who hearing this tape can also take that authority and do likewise. I apply this prayer to them as well. Father, I stand here this afternoon as a priest in this place and in behalf of these people. And I take authority, according to Galatians 3:13, that Jesus became a curse so that I and these people do not have to bear the curse. I apply and I appropriate, it is written, and I take that authority, and in Jesus' name, I put the blood of the Lord Jesus to cleanse and to separate the curses of our ancestors, of our ancestral heritage, in every person present and under the sound of my voice. I apply the blood of the Lord Jesus to the sins of our ancestors that have given Satan a legal right, because your word says that if they do these things, you put a curse on them, Father, and that you also made a provision to come out from under these curses through your Son, the Lord Jesus. And because he became that curse, I apply and I appropriate the authority of that word, it is written, and I break the dominion of the curses over these people and the curses that they've gotten under because of their own sins. I break the ancestral curses in the name of the Lord Jesus, and I loose them from it in Jesus' name, and I break the dominion and power of the curses that they've gotten themselves under because they have disobeyed the word of the Lord and have sinned against thee and have allowed the curses to come upon them because of their own ignorance and their own rebellious sins. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I break and loose each one here present and under the sound of my voice from this dominion and from these curses in Jesus' name. And Satan, I take your legal rights away and I break your dominion and I loose them from your power in Jesus' name. And I bind every familiar spirit that's come down through the family line that torments and follows after. I bind and break the dominion of the familiar spirit to the day of judgment. And Father, I thank you for the angels of the Lord to keep them bound till you judge them at that day of judgment. And I loose us from their dominion in Jesus' name. And I set these people free and myself from the dominion of the familiar spirit. And I take Satan's rights away, and I bind up the demonic spirits, and I bind them to the dead judgment, and I loose these people in Jesus' name, and I thank you for that authority, for I stand in authority, and in the name of the Lord Jesus, for it is written that in Jesus' name, he gives us authority over the powers of Satan, and I break these curses, and I loose these people from them in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, Irma, we'll teach on the occult.
Praise the Lord. Is everybody awake?
Yeah.
Now, I hope you know that there's an awful lot of draft over here, cold air. I hope you people know that just because something didn't happen right at this moment, the devil heard those prayers. And you just keep looking at Jesus, the deliverer, the one who hung on that tree so that we can all be free. And we're coming out of curses. We've come out of a lot of curses. I'm sure there's a lot more that we need to come out of. But as you hear and receive the word and accept the teaching, now, if you don't want to accept the teaching, you don't have to. You can keep right on living in your same way. I mean, but we're not forcing it on anyone. Jesus doesn't force himself on anyone, and we don't force his teaching on anyone else. We just read God's word as it says it is, and we don't go by what I grew up in 1932. My parents and I and my brother all got saved in the Assembly of God church, and that was way back in the olden days. And here it is 56 years later, and I'm telling you, you go so far in that realm, and then you're against the wall, and you don't move any further. Some people, for some reason, I don't know how, break through. You know what I mean? Some people, but other people, they're constantly plagued with poverty, with sickness, with all kinds of things, and they have no idea why, and they get in all the healing lights, which is better than doing nothing. You see what I mean? But we've got to have some answers. We've got to have some answers, and the answers is in the book, right?
Yes.
And it's got to be that we are under these curses from our ancestors, and we have done many things in our own life. I've lived a long time, and so has Glenn. Some of you are real young, and you have great potential in God's army, if you want to be in God's army. You have great potential. And I was talking to Brother Jack after the meeting. You may think that deliverance is something, oh, so horrible. Now, Brother Jack, he doesn't mind to be delivered. He got a tremendous deliverance yesterday afternoon when Brother Moody was calling out spirits. How do you like that kettle of fish? That was a pretty good sermon this morning, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And if you heard it by the Spirit this afternoon, we are going to put Satan underfoot and the stars and the moon under our feet.
Yeah.
Because that's where the occult and sorcery, and that is where astrology all is. And astrology has taken over this nation. It took over our ancestors in a mild sort of way, but it's taken over all of us until we have become so used to it. It's just everywhere. It's on all the park benches, the bus stops in many cities. You can call up a phone number and get your horoscope read. Now, the Lord doesn't like that. He says, that's an abomination unto me, and it makes me want to throw up. That's what God means. Abomination means God says, I'd like to throw that up. It makes me sick. Is that what it means? Where's all the theologians? Now, in Obadiah, you know, we sing, we're marching to Zion. How many ever sung that in the olden days? Out of the songbook. I praise God for my heritage. I'm telling you, that's where I got saved. That's where I received the Holy Spirit. That's where people prayed for me. I praise God for my heritage. But I mean, you can't live in the olden days. We're living in the now. Is that right, Brother Golden? Today is the day of salvation. Today is the time that we seek the Lord. We don't know anything like we ought to know, do we?
No.
Is that what the Bible says? We don't know what we, like, we keep reading the Bible and seeing new scriptures all the time. Some scriptures that didn't mean a thing to me 15 or 20 years ago before I came to this place now have come alive. Practically or probably because I've had to seek the Lord so much about so many problems, not only my own, but thousands of other people's problems that come to us. Now, in Obadiah, can you find it? It's before Jonah. The 17th verse, it says, but upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance. And if we're going to march up to Zion, we better get ready for it. And there shall be holiness. And the house of Jacob or the house of Israel, and if you may not believe you're Israel, I happen to believe I am. And if you can't handle that, just handle spiritual Israel then. I think you can handle that. Shall possess their possessions. We have so much potential in the Lord that he wants to give us possessions that we've never hardly touched. We've had little tidbits of it. We have the glory of the Lord here in this place. He's always here. His presence. His presence is always here. You can walk in here by yourself and sit in the presence of the Lord and immediately you will feel the glory of the Lord coming down over you. And I don't want to ever be here when he's gone. I want to leave too. And the last verse of Obadiah says, saviors shall come upon Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. We're pressing toward the kingdom. We're pressing toward the kingdom age. How many understand that?
Yes.
Are you with me or not? I can't tell.
Yes.
We're pressing in. And there's a book back there. It says, preparation for the kingdom and what is going to keep you out. Glenn and I wrote that several months or years ago. I don't know how long ago. And it's a little book. But it has all the scriptures pinpointed of what's going to keep you out of the kingdom. There's a lot of things.
Yes.
And we have to repent. How many like to repent?
Yes.
I'm for repentance.
Yes.
I tell you, we need to repent more and more and more. We've let these things slide. We've heard all these things. Maybe you've heard Glenn teach. You've heard me teach. But I had a phone call the other day from a lady. And she's had me pray for her to try and receive the Holy Spirit. Bless her heart. And she finally has been calling me on the phone. It is so hard for some people to admit, you know, that they've been to the fortune teller or something.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com. There are many free audio files there.